No questions.
Hey,
no
everybody. Welcome to the first No Questions.
No, no, I didn't know there was going to be
questions.
Why
is this coffee and there's no adult beverage in this? What is going on?
Aren't we
on a cruise? Aren't we here to party? What's up?
You're like the moderator, right?
Yeah, I'm the moderator.
You didn't tell me there was going to be questions.
Are you out of here?
What the hell?
All right, this is going wrong already, but can we give a big cheer for the first battle of fantasy? And a big cheer for the cast of Walking Dead! Thank you guys so much for being here. This is definitely the most surreal paddle that I've ever seen in front of a pool. Have you guys ever done a paddle in front of a pool? No. You've done a bunch of them, no?
No?
No, never?
I've done a lot of other things in front of a pool.
All right, this is PG-13, just to mention.
Yes.
If you have kids here.
In the Soviet Union, I've done those things. In Russia.
All right, well, we'll save that for later. Guys, I'm very excited to chat with you. You've all been on very different seasons of The Walking Dead. Seth, you're on right now. The rest of you guys exited a little early. But one thing that I've learned about Walking Dead over the years and interviewing you guys is the show is family, right? And the fans are family, too. So what's it like when you get together for an event like this? Madison?
I'm just trying to figure out how many people are my cousins out there. Yeah! I tell you, those rookers get around, man.
Other than the cousins, though, what's it like when you guys get together for events? Lou, you've been doing this for a while.
You know, it's always great because there's a community, as you say, for The Walking Dead. I mean, you have a responsibility to participate in as an audience member, just like we do to present the show. And you show up every week, every Sunday, you show up. So good on you, and you know, we're tight. We respect you very, very much. It's great.
All right, there we go. Madison and Michael, you guys were there from the very beginning. Did you imagine during filming those first couple of episodes, you're like, I'm going to do a panel on a boat someday? Did that ever come up? What was it like coming onto the show at the very beginning?
That never came up, no.
No, that never came up.
No, it never occurred to me. And it's just really wild because not only do y'all show up every Sunday, every marathon, every convention, y'all are with us on a cruise ship. So y'all are wild.
I'm there every marathon as well. I got to remember what I did. I did that.
It's hard to believe.
The show has built so huge over the past couple of seasons. It's gotten so big. Was it big from the very beginning, or was there a point looking over the course of the seasons where it just started to explode?
It was big right from the start.
From the start?
Yeah, right from the start.
Yeah? Do you still get people coming up to you with a chainsaw hand, with a claw hand?
No, it's not. Have you seen this show?
Oh, right there. We got a guy right there.
There's Little Merle.
The claw.
You sold Little Merle on eBay.
The claw hand? No, you know what? I decided I didn't like the claw hand or the chainsaw thing. I went with the knife hand.
Well, so Seth, at this point, you've been on through the current season. How have things changed for you? How are things different now?
People have stopped pushing me in public, which is nice. I got onto the show when it was already a runaway train, you know. So I think people had expectations of every new character that came on, and I'm not sure what they were expecting of Father Gabriel, but they didn't seem too happy with it at first. And once he started shooting unarmed people in the face and sermonizing over them, people have kind of accepted him a little more. So they've stopped pushing me in the streets, and now people hug me. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Alice Carver in the house, baby. The Wire for life, baby.
For Michael and Seth, Michael, you were, I don't know, a redeemed bad guy, I think, at the end. And like you mentioned, you were kind of hated. Who got yelled at worse by the fans between you guys, Father Gabriel or Merle?
Nobody yells at me.
Everybody loves you?
Yeah, nobody yells at me.
You know what's fascinating
about Michael Rooker is that he's had a career, I mean, a long time of playing the most despicable, like, hateable, horrible, terrifying, you know. you know, characters, and I know, people right? like beam like small children when they come around him. Like, oh my God, it's Michael Rooker. And like, this dude is terrifying. He gets like the exact reverse response. It triples the love the more horrible he is. It's
totally,
a wonderful
totally,
thing.
Totally, totally. I've had a few love scenes in my career, but usually my lover ends up dead afterwards. I don't understand it. Could be that's why I didn't get any action in The Walking Dead. I don't know.
For Madison and Lou, I'm curious. Both of you hit Carol's character at very different points in her evolution and were really crucial for it. If your characters were alive today, how would Carol be different, do you think?
Okay. Elephant in the room, she wouldn't be a badass if I was still alive. It's just the truth. But I mean, you're welcome.
Yeah, right? I mean, she's amazing. I think the arc that she's had has been as loud as that and as good as any on the show. I think if Axel had stuck around, she would have had at the least a friend and somebody that she could confide in and talk to easier than Rick, for instance. Or even Daryl. He doesn't talk a lot. And Axel certainly talks a lot. So I think they'd have got on at least in conversation and who knows what else. They were missing for an episode in the generator room. So I think there'd been a little funny feeling going on there.
Well, so let's talk about that funny feeling for a second. At that time, certainly there were a lot of Axel Carol shippers, but there were also Daryl Carol shippers at the same time. If Axel had survived, would he be able to take down Daryl and get Carol?
Yes. Yeah, on old-fashioned wisdom, old guy wisdom. Yeah, yeah. I was always trying to get my hair to look like Norman Reedus is on the show. To maybe last a little longer. Worked against me.
I think that Daryl has such an unconditional love towards Carol that he would have recognized that she would have been happy with Axel and he would have signed off on it.
I was trying to maybe work a three-way thing there. One of those video conference things, you know. And
again, this is a PG-13 panel, just so you guys know.
Sorry.
Now, one of the biggest things about The Walking Dead and when you're signing on is there's an expiration date. Eventually, everybody, except for Carl probably, is going to die. So what's it like coming into a show knowing that eventually you're going to have that death dinner? Except for you. You're still alive.
Gabriel's not dying.
As far as we know.
As far as we know, yeah, I don't know. Was that a trick question? I don't know.
No, it wasn't. For the three of you who were killed off of the show, what was it like knowing that eventually your characters were going to end?
Well, for me, it was sucky because I was just thinking the whole time, like, okay, I'm alive in the comics, I'm good, and nobody's safe.
I was. My character was never in the comics, so I was sort of like on eggshells the whole time. I just play it day by day.
Lou, what about you?
I was sure I was going to be around much longer. I was told, right? They tell you you're going to be there for, you know, till the bitter end.
They told you that?
Yeah, and I bought a swimming pool. I mean, like one of these in my house, and Doug put. I haven't filled it up. I couldn't afford to fill it up, but
dude, they never told me that.
Yeah, they said you're gonna be. So I went and put a swimming pool in.
I feel
it's
betrayed.
A skateboard ramp for the punks in my neighborhood
okay?
now. But, you know, you do know that you're going to die. You just never believe it. It's like life. You don't think it could happen to you because on the show you're so alive and the show is so visceral and in the moment. But. When you do get that call, you do what I call the denial dance. No, except Michael. Of course, he had this little thing, Guardians of the Galaxy. He's like, yeah, I'll see you later. When can we get this taken care of? But for the rest of us, like, no, take out Father Gabriel. He's a jerk. Let's not Axel. And then you realize it's your job, and you must do it well, and you want to honor the death of your character. And so... you know, for Madison, myself, and Michael, they were all memorable partings, and we're proud of that. We did that for you.
I'm not proud of that at all, man.
I cried. Or I didn't cry, but Daryl cried enough for all of us.
As well he should. I mean,
that boy
how many
cry.
Times did Daryl stab me in the face? His own brother. It was like 7 or 8 times, right? A little overboard?
Well, yeah.
Come on, little brother.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
How about when the governor shot me? He missed everything except Axel. Every bullet.
How about the governor,
found
man?
Axel.
That governor was a tough mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right?
I would.
I mean,
he wasn't easy.
Rick shot him in the shoulder with a .357, and he still pounds him with the same arm. Oh my God, the guy was tough.
Shot me with his bad eye. That guy's a killer.
Now, I don't know how much you guys can talk about this, but I believe when somebody exits the show, there's death dinners, right? That you guys all get around and you pay tribute. Is it like death row? Do you get to request a meal?
Dude, that was bad. I had one of those things, and we're in a restaurant, and it's like nobody's saying anything because everybody's listening, right? Like, so you couldn't...
Yeah, you kind of have to show up in a good, happy place because everybody's fairly sad. The thing about leaving the show, it's a team. And it's like any good team, you need your teammates. And so when someone leaves, it's not just the character leaving. It's a damn fine actor, right?
Yeah.
And they're hard
Hell
to replace.
Yeah.
No, it's hard to replace a Michael Rooker on your show. Who are you going to get?
There is no replacement, man.
Yeah,
there
I mean,
no
what are you going to do? Bring in a Jeffrey Dean Morgan? Come on.
I think it hurts
the cast.
The death dinners are an opportunity. You know, as actors, we don't really ever get an opportunity to gush over somebody else's work without feeling like a sucker, you know? You don't want to really, subjugate your power to somebody else and say, yo, you know, Michael Rooker, I love you, which I actually did to him. Dude, you've been scaring me for years. I think I pissed myself. Can I take a selfie with you? But the death dinners are an opportunity to actually share with somebody the impact their work has had on you. And it's very generous, and it's a really loving environment for a difficult situation. But if it's an opportunity to tell somebody about a choice that they made that, you know, you didn't want to, like, interrupt their process about, but that you can gush about then. So it's kind of cathartic in a way.
You know what? I always thought, okay, I'm off the show. I'm not going to ever see these guys again. And I, dude, honestly, I see them more now than I saw them when I was on the bloody show. I mean, you're on the show. The day's over. You go home. You don't. Nobody goes out. You know. You're tired, right?
Yeah, it's work.
Now,
man.
I mean, we see each other every weekend almost.
And the great thing about the death dinner is when the check comes around, you just slide it right by. You don't touch it.
That's great, a free dinner. That sounds like an amazing trade-off. I want to get to your guys' questions because you don't care about me. I am going to ask one more, but Justin and where's Pete? Can you guys raise your hands? There's Pete over there with the mic. There's Justin with the mic. So you guys raise your hands. They're going to come to you and take your questions. Anything is off the table. Anything is on the table.
Any question, guys. Basically anything. We'll answer everything you want to know.
Yeah, there you go. But before, while you guys are thinking about your questions and raising your hands, Seth, real quick, I know you really can't talk too much about what's coming up, but the second half of the season, what can you plug, what can you tease for Father Gabriel in particular?
For Father Gabriel in particular, in the second half of the season, I think you see more of his complete devotion to rehabilitating Rick and following his leader.
All right, very good. Cool, so raise your guys' hand. Justin, Pete are going to come to you guys. I see a couple of hands here already. You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
We must be moving fast with all the wind, no?
I know.
Lou, the question is for you, Lou. The question?
Sorry. Yes.
Question. I know that the show doesn't quite follow the comics, but there's a massive rumor within a week or two, a big comic is going to be released with a slightly big character, maybe not making it through it. Have you guys heard anything about that?
No.
Do you guys...
I couldn't say.
That was a good question, though. That was a good one. That was a good one.
It's a great question. Keep asking. Keep asking. No answer, but keep asking.
I just figured
out... Well, let me ask you guys a question.
As we said in the beginning here, we're going to answer everything.
Figured out we're moving.
Nothing is off the table. You ask whatever you want.
All right, let's take a question from over here. Where is Pete? Where's Pete? I can't see Pete. Just stick
over
a microphone
here
in front of somebody's
hey,
face.
Over here! Over here!
Where is he?
Over here!
What do
over
you there? Want?
All right. Oh, wow. Pete, you're all the way over there on the other side of the
go
pool.
Ahead.
Okay. All right. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Bree. Lou, what up? I met you earlier.
Yeah, hi, Bree.
What's up?
What's your name, honey? Grief.
Bree. Bree like the cheese.
Grief.
Yeah, Bree.
Grief.
Bree. So,
like
Michael.
Grief like your second wife? No.
So, Michael.
What? What do you want?
I loved you in Walking Dead. I loved you in Guardians of the Galaxy. But my heart for you goes in Cliffhanger Man.
That was a good one.
Was that a Guardians of the Galaxy?
No real question there.
Hey, Cliffhanger was a good little movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was
great.
Fantastic.
And I was in really good shape. I climbed for like 3 months before that movie. You know, I was really good. I looked cool.
Well, and
my
you
body
had nice
was in
curly
shape.
Hair. Your
I was
hair?
Cut. My hair was long and curly, right?
It was nice.
I get over there and I start climbing, and like 8-year-olds are climbing past me like it's nothing. And I'm like, what the hell is this all about?
Will we see you on the climbing wall right over here?
Yeah, I was on, is there a climbing wall here?
Yeah, there's a climbing wall.
Where?
It's right behind.
It's not accessible for the next 30 minutes or so. And
oh,
then
wow.
After that, you can go to it.
Yeah, I'll go up there if you go.
All right.
Time.
Cool, there you go. Justin, you got a question over here. What's your name? What's your question, sir?
My name is Felix.
Hey, Felix.
How you doing? I got a question for Father Gabriel. Do you think you will ever, like, kill a zombie?
Oh, we're getting a little bit of
sorry?
Feedback.
I said, do you think you will ever kill a zombie?
Do I think Father Gabriel would ever kill a zombie? Well, I mean, he already has. I don't think that he's got any issue with killing any of the walkers anymore. I think, you know, he's past his phase of where he stands in terms of what he has to do to survive, I think.
Not to get too deep for a panel that's in front of a pool or anything, but it's such an interesting place to have a religious figure in a show that's about the post-apocalypse. How does Father Gabriel at this point, you feel, fit into the mix?
I think he's a bit of an odd part, but I think that's kind of the joy that I have of the character. I don't know if the question of faith and is going to be, you know, answered, you know, brought up and answered with Father Gabriel on the scene. That might be a little too on the button, you know, asking a priest about the afterlife in a zombie apocalypse. But I would be interested to hear what he's got to, you know, what his newfound revelations are, you know, about what God's plan is for man now that the dead are roaming the earth.
Oh, very cool. Pete has a question. There's Pete. Hey, how's it going? All right, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
Hey, my name's David. This question's for Michael. Will you be back for Mallrats 2? And if you do come back, will you be hosting another Love Game Show?
So
I hope so.
I so
would
do
love
we.
I'd love to do another Mallrats too.
All right, and I should also
Mallrats too. I'll do Mallrats too if tomorrow you bring me chocolate covered pretzels.
I got some in my room if you want.
PG-13 panel, people. PG-13 panel.
I know, right?
Yeah. I should just mention that Michael is going to also be on the Guardians of the Galaxy panel coming up after this. So if you got questions about that, hold them for a little later. Justin's got a question from this man over here. What's your name? What's your question?
Paul from Toronto. For those of you on the panel who've had an early demise, what's on the future for you guys? What's coming up? What can you plug?
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm working on a show right now. It's called Bosch. We actually just finished shooting season 3. It's on Amazon Prime exclusively, so it's like a streaming show. Yeah, check it out. It's like crime drama.
I love that show. It's great. I've got a film coming out where I take Halle Berry's kid, and oddly enough, it's called Kidnap. And she wants it back. So, it's sort of taken with the soccer mom, but she's great. I'm not so good, but she's really good.
Seth, what about you?
I'm trying to pitch a reimagining of the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch? Who do you play in this scenario?
I don't know yet. I haven't decided.
Marsha.
Marsha. Marsha. Marsha. Marsha.
I think Marsha. I think we're gonna go with Marsha. He's Marsha. 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 Seth, do you get time to do anything during the break in filming, or are you right back at Walking Dead?
Well, I'm working on we're wrapping up our season 6 of a show called Teen Wolf that I've been on since the first season. So. In the last 3 years, going back and forth between Teen Wolf and Walking Dead hasn't really left me many other opportunities for other work. That's going to be changing with Teen Wolf wrapping up. And then I'll be available. Teen Wolf.
What is that?
It's like a reimagining of the I Was a Teenage Werewolf, starring Michael Landon, that then was re-upped.
Michael J. Fox.
The one like
Michael J. Fox.
He did that TV show.
He played basketball in that movie.
Do you play basketball in this
movie? No, they play lacrosse. It's all white
folks. Lacrosse in Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
And, they're hormonal teenagers, and when they get a little excited, they turn
werewolves
into supernatural creatures.
Werewolves with sticks.
Something like that.
Right
it's
on,
a family
right on.
Panel, I think. So check out Werewolves with Sticks on MTV.
Please don't check out Werewolves with Sticks.
Check out T-Ball. There we go. We got a question over here. What's your name, sir? What's your question? Yes. From
Brian.
Merle.
Brian from New York. Rooker, I love
you. Go ahead and wave that arm again. Wave that arm.
Let's give a round of applause.
My question for Seth, actually. Father Gabriel went through a very sudden change where he kind of was against the group, and then suddenly he decided to be a badass and kill people in their sleep. So how do you reconcile that sudden change in the character?
As an actor, I have to do what the writers give me, whether it makes sense or not. I think... The guy was at the brink of if he would have had the stones, he would have killed himself. And then he tried, suicide by Sasha. So I think, when people get to that low point, it doesn't really take a long time of staying there for them to either, change or take their lives. So, I think for Father Gabriel, he'd had enough of seeing what the people were like. Now he was no longer alone hiding in his church. So, it's kind of adapt or die.
All right, very cool. Where's Pete? There's Pete over there hiding behind the speakers again.
Hi.
No, it's working. Go for it.
Hi, my name is London, and I am curious, given those of you who have died and the one who has not, if you could pick your own death scene in The Walking Dead, what would it have been, or what do you want it to be?
No, I'm really pleased with how Axel left. That couldn't have been better. It was shocking and it was poignant. So I'm good with it.
I think ripping out Negan's Adam's apple with my bare hand as he continually stabs me in the neck at the same time, that would work. And this young lady right here is very happy with her demise.
Yeah. I kind of liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know. It's just me.
I would have wanted to drive the car a little faster before I roll out. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Justin, you got a question right over here?
Hi, my name is Matt. My question's kind of based for all of you, because I'm a huge fan of Carol as a character. I think she's one of the... I think her arc from the comics to the show has been so transforming. She's become this kind of new character all in herself. The thing that interests me the most is when she kind of started seeing zombies as more people, which kind of has taken that rough exterior that we've always known as, like, this new Carol. Now, that kind of takes me back to when she... her comic alter ego kind of died. And so now I'm saying, in your opinion, do you think that this kind of arc from the comics is kind of all coming full circle for Carol? Do you think the heartbreak has kind of just become so much now and she can't do it anymore, and that outcome from the comics is now going to lead itself here?
No.
Yes. He knows what he's talking about.
Yes. No, I think when you get to a place, you sort of realize it starts going backwards. Anyone that's 50 out here gets it. But, yeah, I think she's going back to where she came. And leaving.
Cool. Here, I think we have a question from a kid right over here. Pete, can you get over to him with the microphone?
It's a great question, dude.
There you go.
Hello, my name is James, and my question is for Michael. And I'm just wondering, what was it like having that hand knife thing on for a while? Was it heavy?
What's your name, sir?
Brian.
Ask Brian. Brian, what do you think? How do you like it?
The screws kind of dig into my
arm. The screws digging into your arm? Yeah, I agree. You know, my buckle dug right into my my nerve back here behind my elbow, and it was a drag after a while. My arm still gets numb. And my arm gets numb, and it goes all the way up into my brain sometimes. And every now and then I'm driving, and I wake up, and I'm still off in the woods somewhere.
That'll happen, it's true.
You start driving when you're sleeping?
No, it was a problem. No. It was no problem at all, actually. I had a fun time with that. It was joyous, as a matter of fact.
Well, one of the great things about the show is you're working with Greg Nicotero on effects and his amazing team, and they're fantastic about putting this stuff together. I imagine he designed the prosthetic.
Nicotero designed that arm, and I will never... I love him for it. Forgive, I love him. I will never, ever not forgive him. No. I don't know where that arm went.
So it's in your house?
Well.
All right, we'll find out later. Talk about Greg Nicotero for a second. There's been so many gross out things that he and the team have designed for the show. In your opinion, of the stuff you were involved in, what was the grossest gross out moment for you? Grossest walker, grossest kill, anything. Seth, do you have something that you just could not deal with on set?
What do you mean, like something that Greg developed?
Yeah, just anything that designed on the show that you're like, all right, excuse me for a moment. That's gross. I have to excuse myself.
I have, mine is the guy that came out of the well. The well walker, they pulled him out, and then he split apart, and all the maggots and guts and worms and all that kind of crap kind of spilled out and wiggling around. That kind of grossed me out a little bit.
Madison, what about you? Do you have one?
Yeah. Okay. It was probably... I wasn't a part of this on set, but it was definitely the well walker. That was so gross. And, they kind of were really gentle with me as a kid. You know, they kept me away from the gross stuff, and the only really nasty stuff I saw was, the zombies on set who were eating in the lunch tent, and there was the woman with the jaw and her tongue was hanging out, and I couldn't eat my lunch, and I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, you mean when the real walkers were eating lunch with us that time?
Yeah, I can't. I'd lose my appetite. I'd be like, oh.
You know, they're already dead. Why do they want to eat?
I don't know. Vegan.
What about the fired ones, the ones that were on fire?
Blah.
They were gross. The fire, you know, I hate when my body gets on fire, you know? And it just, I felt for them for some reason. I just didn't, yeah.
Lou, what about you? Do you have a gross out moment?
We had a lot of, new walkers in the prison. Every time we turned around and we had to shiv these guys, and they always had some gag that, because we didn't know how to kill them yet, so we'd just stab them until they... And that didn't work. Got to get them in the head, right? And so they always had this blood packs of crap that would come out of them.
Who is this girl?
It would get entirely all over you, and you'd have to go clean up and do the same scene over and over again. And that put me off of it a little bit.
Seth, do you have one? Favorite gross out moment?
I was grossed out by the scene where Rick and Michonne, we have to cover ourselves in the guts to get out of the... with the Walker invasion when they come into Alexandria, because the Greg's team were very specific about the kind of organs that Rick was supposed to be picking through, and it was really spot on, and it was foul and kind of gross, and there was not much acting in my reactions to those. It was the throwing up in my mouth a little bit that whole day.
All right, very cool. Justin has a question from
that
a fan over here. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, I'm Chrissy. My question is for all of you. What's your favorite line out of all the seasons?
Oh, man. Favorite line favorite out of line. All the seasons.
Favorite what?
Line. Favorite line.
I like when Rick says, shut up, after he shoots the guy in the head. The prison guy, not the prison guy, the hospital cop. That, I actually, I laughed for about 3 minutes after that.
Anybody else? Favorite line?
I like...
I had a couple. What is your favorite line, Lou?
Maybe I like I hear Nebraska's nice.
Yeah.
When he went in that bar.
I like Sugar Tits. And Rug Muncher.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I like the short hair line I had.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, must be a lesbian because she's got the short hair.
Madison, do you have a favorite line?
Oh, you know, I have a good line that I said. I was talking to Blondie, and she wanted to know why. Well, I wanted to know why we never hooked up. And she, you know, she said because I referred to her as a whore and a rug muncher.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yep.
Kind of harsh.
Yeah.
And she
took that personal.
And my response to her was, yeah, I got away with words, huh? That's one of my favorite lines. As a matter of fact, I think that just came out. I think we just invented that on the day.
Madison, do you have one?
A lot of my lines involved like crying or screaming or like... Yeah, crying and screaming. And I had a couple lines, and this is horrible, but it was so long ago, I can't remember.
She was
them.
Just a baby, for God's sake.
Okay. Give me a second. I don't know. I think when we were talking about the Grand Canyon in the car, I think that was cool with Chandler and Melissa and Andrew. But I could not tell you the exact wording of them. Like, I was like 11 at the time, and I'm 17 now.
So how old are you now, huh?
17?
She's 17, for God's sake. She was 11 only. What were you like?
What do you want from her?
I can't believe you even remember any of those lines.
All right. That's all right. Thank you, guys. We got a question over here. What's your name? What's your question?
Yes, my name is Dawn Reese with Hollywood Connections 106.1 FM. I've been promoting this on the cruise. I want to first say, please, everyone, give a warm clap welcome to Michael, our cruise director. He's done an awesome job. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Big deal.
Michael, that's for you. And I wanted to ask, how did you get your first agent? There's a lot of actors. My show has producers, actors, film directors, producers, casting directors. And giving advice, how did you get your first agent? There are a lot of actors I know on this cruise. And any advice to them from your heart?
Thank you. Any advice on getting an agent or a manager?
My mom's an actress, so I kind of just... I don't know.
I don't know. I've thrown most of them away. Agents.
We're such a good help, I know.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Do you know, was there a point when you were like, oh, man, this is it. I got to be an actor. I got to do this.
Yeah, like 5 years old.
5 years old? What was it? What did it?
I would entertain my family with impersonations of major characters from The Godfather and... Taxi Driver, Travis Bickle.
You know what I'm going to ask now, right? Can you do Godfather or Taxi Driver?
No, that was a long time ago. I was 5 years old, man.
All right, okay, no problem.
A long time ago.
Lou, what about you?
Yeah, I followed a girl into an acting class. When I was, you know, I was a minor league baseball player. I was a grown man, for God's sake. But looking and seeing what they were doing on stage, I said I could do that, which I couldn't. But I did learn to go do it. And back to your question then, I would say, you know, you got to know that you have a passion for it. And as long as your passion is burning, then you'll find your way. And so believe in what's burning inside of you, and everybody has a different route. And don't worry about an agent. You're your agent, and that'll serve you best.
Especially,
no man can walk out on his own story.
Especially now, man. I mean, with the internet, you know, you can put out your work out there if you want. You know, you know, it's personal PR.
You're silly if you're waiting to go be on a show, because you could just build your own and be Stranger Things. And you laugh, but that's the truth. And you'll ask those guys, and all of us turn that down. Bunch of punk kids. What are they doing? Shoot.
Madison, what about you? Was there a point when you knew you wanted to be an actor, or you just fell into it?
I remember when I was 6 years old, and I don't remember actually going to set with my mom, who's also an actress, but I remember after the fact being like, okay, so when do I start? When is it time? When do I get to do that? And she was like, I mean, I guess you can if you want. And yeah, the rest is history, I guess.
And Michael?
I don't know, man. I've spent my career trying not to act. I don't think I want to be an actor. I just want to go and do stuff.
You're doing a lot of acting for that, I'll just mention. I'm just saying.
I don't know why people pay me to do that stuff. I have no idea why.
Justin has a question over here. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Jen, a.k.a. Coraline Jones, right now. My question is for Seth. Have you ever thought about what Father Gabriel did all that time alone in the church and how it may have affected his character throughout the show?
Yes, I gave that quite a lot of thought, actually. You know, one of the ways, one of the cruelest ways we can punish prisoners is by putting them in solitary confinement. Because the lack of contact with other people and just your own thoughts and your own inner voice is enough to drive people crazy, and it does. What I figured is that Father Gabriel had copied out the entire Bible. He had written letter for letter, word for word, what the Bible was. I'd imagined he had gotten through three different versions of it. I think he spent a lot of time talking to himself and not very kindly. I think one of the reasons, to go back to a question over here from Brian about the quick transition of Father Gabriel going from one end to the other, is because he had spent, you know, up to like 18 months alone. And I think he was on the brink of madness when they found him, as it was, you know. He was so starved for human contact that he was wandering out, you know, alone, hoping, I think. So I put a lot of time and an effort into that. I don't think any of it shows on screen, but it makes you feel more fortified when the cameras start rolling.
Dude, I you know what? It does show on screen.
Does it?
You know, when your first character...
Hi, I'm Seth. You know who I am?
Your character first came on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, I'm watching a couple episodes, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm digging this guy. I'm not liking him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if he were in front of me, I would like, you know, grab him up and shake him. What a great thing to bring out for the audience. I mean, I really thought you were killing it, dude.
Oh,
and you
thanks,
still
man.
Are. I love your character.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
Give him a round of applause. Give him a round of applause.
I didn't realize he actually knew who I was. Every time I see him, and these things, I go, hey, Michael, how you doing? He goes, hey, brother. And the eyes are kind of on my forehead. The handshake is always just a little limp, and the look is a little to the left of my shoulder.
That's the meds, man. It's the meds. I'm sorry, man. Not sorry.
This is why we sat them on opposite sides of the table, you guys. We got a question over here. What's your name? What's your question, sir?
My name is Manuel Castro. Why am I being a director? Why he be only about the movie that left us the Walking Dead?
Lou?
What can it be the Walking Dead? I'll be on the Netflix What kind of new episode?
Hold on, back and Rucker's helping.
It's hard to hear with this guy.
What kid, what kind of income, not what kid, but what kind of movie he did would be the new episode.
Oh, here, they're translating. They're figuring out the microphone. It's hard to hear through the microphone. What?
Okay, he wants to know. What do you guys got coming up for the new episodes?
Oh, okay, there we go, yeah.
Well, after Father Gabriel and Daryl get into a heated exchange about their rival love for Carol, and Father Gabriel beats Daryl to death with a socket wrench, I'm not sure. I wish I could answer that question. I cannot. All I can do is make stuff up.
They would cut his head off.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to sign like a $1 million, disclosure thing where
they already saw you. Look what the they already saw you talking about it.
Yes. All right, when we've spilled the coffee, that means it's time for just a couple more questions before we go. Where is Justin? Justin's over there. What's your name? What's your question, sir?
My name is Andre, and my question is for three guys who characters Ray passed away. And how do you think your characters would react to Negan?
Yeah, I don't think Axel would have a good place with Negan because he's kind of let's get along type guy, and it doesn't seem like Negan has much interest in that unless it serves him. So I don't think Axel would understand why so violent. I don't see him having much fun together. Nope.
I mean, there'd be a lot of character development, and it'd be interesting to see how she would be at the time. Sophia, I mean. But, I mean, Sophia, before she died, so 12 years old, 13 years old, would be truly, truly disturbed and just upset, and just not understanding of Negan and that character, I think.
Yeah, I think Merle was a very diplomatic character. He would have... Negan is a pretty straightforward guy, right? Do as he says. He keeps forgetting his name, so he wants everyone to be called Negan. I understand that sometimes, like, who am I? What?
Negan would have had the biggest man crush on Merle. Just huge. He'd been following him around like a puppy.
Oh, totally, totally, totally. He'd be wanting to shine Merle's knife hand up.
Yeah, a little bit. Exactly.
Amazing. I think we have time for two more questions, so make them awesome. Pete over here has a question. What's your name? What's your question, sir?
My name is Chad. Thanks for being here. You're winning hearts all over the place. All of your early work has been tremendous. Love The Wire. I think Sophia was wonderfully played. Father Gabriel, the transformation that he's gone through has been fantastic. Madison, my question is actually a little off topic. It's about Bosch. It's been wonderful. I do encourage everybody to watch it. My question is this. Can we expect more seasons? Do you have any ideas on how many more?
I mean, I don't want to, cancel anything out or jinx anything because I really love working on the show, but we are picked up for a fourth season, and the show is based off of 13 books, so, and with more to come, so I don't know.
All right, maybe there 13. We go. Bosch question, awesome. All right, this is the last question. Make it the most amazing question of all time. Yeah, no pressure, just blow it out of the water, not literally.
Sky from Tampa. Whoever needs more Baileys in their coffee drink, I'm buying afterwards. So, here for you guys. Here for you guys. Also, I love The Walking Dead. You guys are all super awesome. Thank you.
Was that your question?
Not a question, but more of a bar order. That's great. What a way to end.
What a way to end, you guys. This has been our first panel of Fantasy. Let's give these guys a huge round of applause.
Thank you.
Seth, Lou, Madison, Michael. Walking Dead! Should also mention, thank you to Justin and Pete. We do a comic book club show that's going to be on the boat a bunch of times. Please come out and see it and hang out. I believe we're going to take some pictures in front of the stage real quick and then let you guys get out of the wind. One more round of applause. Thank you very much, Fantasy.